Well, good morning, and can I say Happy New Year to you? I never got a chance to do it through Christmas, but I also want to say a massive thank you to you all for your heart and your service here in the church. I had kind of a little birthday last year where I celebrated 30 years in full-time Christian ministry. Now, you're all in full-time Christian ministry because that's God's call on your life. But for me personally, it was kind of 30 years since I left theology college and an amazing journey. Times when I crashed and burnt without a shadow of a doubt, and God's picked me up and moved me on in his grace. But to come through, I kept saying to people, to be having been a minister for 30 years and still loving it and enjoying it and still full of a sense of God working and blessing your life, it's amazing. So come on in. The water's great. So Happy New Year to you all. We're going to do several things this morning. I'm going to share a little bit now, but then we're going to have a hymn and I'll share a little bit more, so it's broken up. There's going to be some, hopefully some very visual things towards the end of the service that for you may hopefully just be a symbol that is real, that helps you engage in what we believe as a leadership and together as a church we should be walking towards in God. The first thing is that I just want to get Nick Kenworthy to come and share. He's going to do the Bible reading, and then he's going to share a little bit of the testimony as to where Nick's journey with Fulwood Free Methodist Church has got to. And I've lost him. Where is he? There. Right, Nick. Thank you.
Good morning. This morning's reading is taken from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. That's Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. Salt and light. You are the salt of the earth. But if that salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven.
So you've been on a bit of a journey with us, Nick. Thank you for the Bible reading. And just be great if you could share a little bit of where the journey has brought you to and what's going to be happening this year.
Sure. Well, I started off my Christian journey, really, in an Anglican church when I was younger. And although I knew God, I didn't really know him intimately or know what he was about, so to speak. And it was only really through coming to this church that I developed a deeper, more personal experience. And that originally began about 5 years ago. I was privileged enough to go to Rwanda, and there I saw people who were serving and combating injustice and healing people, both spiritually and physically. And it was just such a deep call to me that our faith should not be static or just for one day only, but it should be week-long, it should be lifelong. And so since coming to this church, I've felt this call to have this active faith through joining a home group when I was a bit younger. I was privileged enough to be with a few people who were older than me, and I saw this same action-based faith alive in them, and they really encouraged me to participate in the church. This originally began on Friday evenings. I came and I would just put away chairs at the end of the evening. And this soon changed into speaking on a Friday evening to our young people. And then that morphs into leading a cell group. And now I am the last person out of the doors on a Friday evening. Or on those exceptional times, it's a Saturday morning. But I've also been fortunate enough to speak in main church and give sermons. And I've been asked again to do one this year, so I can't be all that bad. But all these things have drawn me closer to God, and it's been a privilege to serve here, and I pray that it continues to be such a privilege. I mean, just this past week, I've had the sneak peek of what you all see through Andrew and through the spiritual leadership team, and some of the visions that you have been having, and this isn't what just a couple of individuals have been having. This is a church-wide vision. It's been amazing, and it's such an honour to see how God is speaking to us. So on this Vision Sunday, I'm praying for you guys, and I ask that you would please pray for me over the coming year, that we might listen to what God has to say to us today, that we might be open to God using us, that we might be able to allow him to stretch us if we're willing, and for some of us, may he rest and restore us, because that's what we need this year. But collectively, I pray that through 2013, can we further God's kingdom through this building? And I ask that we could strive to do that together.
I think you're supposed to also share that through 2013, you're going to be an intern here.
Yes.
effectively on staff. Is that...
Yeah.
Was that a yes?
Yes.
Good. Okay, we'll have you.
Oh, thank you.
So, introducing Nick Kenworthy, who's been around for a while, but Nick is from now on, he's an intern here. He's working on staff and will be throughout this year, and we'll see how that leads. But we want to pray for Nick now. Father, thank you for Nick. Thank you for what you've been doing in his life. And thank you that he's listened to you and he's journeyed with you and found that, amazingly, it's really all about your journey with him and for him. And we pray you'd bless him. Bless him in the ministry with our teenagers and our young people. Give him wisdom and grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to share truth in ways that changes their lives and sets them as young adults to follow Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Saviour. Lord, give him grace, give him patience, give him strength and energy. Lord, we pray that his time here working on staff will be a great time of journey and enjoyment in you with us. We give him to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Bless you. So this morning, in a way, we're not preaching, or I'm not preaching. I'm just hopefully sharing something of the journey that particularly the spiritual leadership team, we have two key leadership teams in the church, the spiritual leadership team and the administrative leadership team. Together they form the church board of trustees who are responsible for us all, as well as for the buildings. But the spiritual leadership team are meant to pray through and think through direction. And what we've done since we finished the building project, which is now back in 2008, so it's getting on for 5 years ago, every summer we've begun to pray and ask God what we believed the next year would be about. And that's given us time and space to pray and talk and think through, to the point that coming up to the beginning of a new year, we're able to say, look, we believe 2011 should be about this. Last year was a huge year. It kind of set itself in many respects, because the guild year meant that virtually there was something happening every month or every 2 months to do with Preston Guild that we'd committed ourselves to. But it was actually during the summer of 2011, as we began to pray about 2012, that kind of, we as a leadership, we began to get an itch that we couldn't quite scratch. And we felt, and we began to believe that just setting year plans and year goals had been okay whilst we got used to the building and whilst we grew into the building and enjoyed that and enjoyed almost the rest and the respite of having gone through a very intense time. We began to believe that there was something more. So we said, okay, well, we know 2012 is going to be guild year. But we began to think and pray beyond that. So almost every meeting that the spiritual leadership team had last year, we took time to pray, but we took time to be open with each other. We read books about mission and things like that together, the same books, and discussed some of those and whether we believed that God was speaking through those or not. And so we kind of worked or journeyed through the year with huge question marks, really. God, what are you saying to us? God, where are you leading us? Where will that take us? And we didn't come up with kind of massive blinding answers or whatever, but slowly God began to focus us very much on this key scripture here in Matthew 5. You are the light of the world. Now, classically, we always say Jesus is the light of the world because in John's gospel, that's what he declares. I am the light of the world. And it's a powerful theme running right through John's gospel. But here, as we read the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And he's saying, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. In other words, Jesus is saying, the impact of who you are as light in this world is actually going to impact people to see God. They'll see you, but ultimately it will open their eyes to see God and glorify him. And if you will, that's the core theme of what we believe for the way forwards here. During the year, I always meet with members of the spiritual leadership team one-on-one. Doesn't always work out, but we try and get together once every 2 months or so. We chat and pray, chat about family, chat about church, and chat about big things and small things, and simply pray together. And Russell Sutton, who's a member of the spiritual leadership team, earlier on in the year came to me with he said, well, I think God's given me a picture. You might not know, but Russell lives in Broughton, which is that way, and he has a dog that he walks towards the church. And when Russell gets near the church so he can see it, that's when he stands and he prays. He prays over us, and he prays over the church. And sometimes God speaks to him. So, Russell, come and tell us your story.
Morning. Your standing up here is an absolutely nerve-wracking experience for me.
Just get on with it.
You know, it takes me completely out of my comfort zone, but I believe that God does do that. He takes us out of our comfort zone as individuals and as a church. And as Andrew said, it's going back now 12 months, perhaps even more than that, I felt like God was giving me a picture, a vision. And initially, it made no sense whatsoever. All it was initially was like a noughts and crosses grid, a 9-square grid, and that was it. Nothing else whatsoever. And I shared that with Andrew, and Andrew looked at me with that look that said, yeah, and. But as it carried on, and as I prayed about it, it then became like an A to Z map with a grid, 9-square grid. Fullwood, Preston, and further afield beyond. And then as the month went by, the weeks went by, and I prayed about it, and I thought, this is just, where's this going? It continued. I've got it actually written down, because I want to be completely true to what I feel God has said to me. And as it carried on, Fullwood Church was at the middle, in the middle grid. And above it was a fire, a massive burning fire, flames coming out of the top of it. And as that carried on, each of the little grids started to catch fire. But they were catching fire from this main flame. Their burn, their flame, was actually being taken from that middle flame. And then again, as that carried on, there was a white dove that I saw above the flames, the central flame over the church. And as each time one of these grids caught fire, this dove would just slowly flap its wings, keeping the fire up, keeping it burning. And it was just as though that once one of these grids caught fire and the flame, the power was taken from the main flame, this dove flapped its wings and the central flame never died down. Nothing happened, it just kept exactly the same. And that basically was it. And as I prayed about it and thought about it, shared with Andrew about it, shared with the other members of the SLT about it, I didn't get a massive interpretation, a massive message, but there was two real key things that I felt God was saying. And the first one was that I want you, and this is a collective you, this is about us as a church, it's not about us as an SLT, an ALT leadership, it's about us as a church. And I believe God was saying, and God is saying, I want you beyond these walls. It's not about forward anymore, it's about beyond these walls. And the other one was that I want you to go out, but I won't let you burn out. And that was very significant, I thought, that God wants us to go outside, but he won't let us burn out. And just over the last couple of days, and this morning I was thinking about it, and many years ago, I don't know where Dave Sewell sat at the minute, he sat somewhere, but he gave a message, and it was about we need a we. I don't know if Dave can remember preaching it, but he said, we need a we. And that's exactly what it is. We need a we as a collective we. It's about us. We have got to do it. We can't rely on... We certainly can't rely on the SLT. So if you're anything like me, you're in dire straits. But it's about we, us, individuals, collectively, as in a church, we have got to do it.
So those two core things again, Russell. We've got a breakout, was it?
Yeah, breakout. It's beyond these walls. It's not about forward. It's beyond these walls. That was a very meaningful thought that I got, that it's not about forward.
Yeah.
It's beyond forward.
And then as we go out, we won't
burn out.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Thank you very much. Bless you, Russell. Thank you.
So Russell came to me over a period of over a year now, kind of just this picture was building, and every time he looked at me and said, what does it mean? And I said, well, you're looking at me? So we just kept praying and about it and asking God to show us. But don't forget, all the time, the spiritual leadership team were meeting and asking, God, where are you leading us? Where are you taking us and what are you showing us? So that picture is kind of a, what you see there on the screen is a graphic build-up of what Russell was sharing with me as the picture built through the year. And then we began to share it with the spiritual leadership team and with the administrative leadership team and staff as well, so they could see what and begin to sense what we believed God was calling us to. But those two core things that we're told to break out. And as we finish this first section, I just want to say this, that one of the pictures we had during this week was powerful for me, because towards the end of last year, as I was praying, I got this real sense of, as a church, particularly on our Sundays, and some of you may struggle with this one, but I really felt we're actually at saturation point. Sometimes we look at how full Cedar is, but I began to believe that actually we're so busy and so full on Sundays that we're at a saturation point, that if we don't do something about that, then we're in danger of strangling growth. And one of the powerful pictures that came out in our prayer times this week was that somebody shared a very simple picture of a plant in a plant pot and that had stopped growing. And the reason it had stopped growing is that when you took it out of the plant pot, there was this massive knot of roots And it's what, in gardening terms, they said it's pot bound. Now, I don't know anything about that because I don't do plants. I cut hedges, I cut lawns, and that's where it stops for me. But it's pot bound. It will not grow anymore when it's pot bound. And the only way you can create new growth for that plant now is to put it in a much bigger pot with new soil and new nutrient around it, or you propagate by breaking it up and breaking the roots up and planting those around. And that, for me, was a powerful picture of what Russell's saying. Now, please, a note of caution. You can see flames in Southport and Fleetwood and Blackpool. Please don't go and say, oh, Fullwood's going to do something in Southport and Fleetwood and Blackpool. Because if it does, there's also flames on Parsnip and Parsnip. That's only when my wife's burned the dinner, right? Flames on Parlick and Fairsnape, all right? Please, this is just a representation, okay? I think there's one on Beacon Fell as well, but But, just hold those things that we believe God was showing Russell. We've got to break out. We've got to break out beyond these walls. It's not simply because God's given Russell a picture. In Matthew 28, Jesus said to the disciples, go into the whole world, making disciples of all nations. Break out. He said, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Break out. When you read the story in Acts and you find that the disciples got pretty comfortable in Jerusalem, persecution came and they broke out. They had to. So break out. But, you know, we are not just at saturation point because we're pretty full on Sundays. So many of us are very committed to this place and to serving God here that sometimes we feel like we're running to standstill. And sometimes it feels like, can we get anybody else to come and help us here? You know, if we go out beyond these walls, there are ministries God may be calling us to that at the moment we can't equip with people. We did a brilliant job last year of scraping through the year financially. Praise the Lord, we had an awesome autumn. I think overall through the autumn, on top of general giving, you gave well over £30,000 for different reasons and to different things. And we've made it through in the black. But if we have to equip new ministries with finances at the moment, we would struggle. We don't know what those new ministries may look like. We hope one of those or several of those may be church plants, brand new churches. And that's simply a prayer at the moment. We're asking God, we're listening to God. And if you want to hear more about that, please come tonight, where I'm going to share Pastor John Townley's heart for church planting. And Pastor John is the key leader of our Free Methodist churches in the UK. And God is using very powerfully in church planting. We had a whole evening at my house where the whole of the board and staff came together, and John just simply shared his heart and he shared his how. And we're going to be looking at that a little bit tonight, so please come. It's very exciting. So there's some question marks here, and a prayer that we were praying in prayer meetings towards the end of the year was from Colossians, where Jesus, or Paul writes and says, now to him who can do anything beyond all that you can imagine. And at the moment, we've got to say, we can imagine forward. We can imagine what's going on here because it's not an imagination, it's reality. There's amazing things going on and happening here. But to break out is going to take us beyond what we can imagine at the moment into a place where we're trusting God and we're asking God to take us forwards. I absolutely believe that if... And please don't go away and say, Pastor says we're going to start 9 new ministries because we've got a tic-tac-toe grid with 9 squares in it, and that means 9 new ministries, right? And one of them's going to be on Parsnip Hill, right? Please, That's not what I'm saying, but I am saying God, I believe, and we believe he's calling us to break out, but his promises that will not burn out. His promises that he will equip us. He'll show us, he'll lead us, and as we respond in faith, he will equip us to go. And I absolutely believe that as we go here, we will grow. End of chapter one. Sue, thanks.
So what is your response to that? That's something that many of us have been hearing about over the last few weeks and months, but it's something new to many of you. Is your response, is crazy? Is your response, what might be my part? What part can I play in what is shared already this morning? And as part of that, again, I want you to keep praying through this service and asking God the Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? What should my response be to what we're sharing this morning? And again, we're going to sing another song about vision. And as we sing this, sing it prayerfully and ask that God would be the centre of who you are and what we are here as a church, and ask that he would reveal his vision to you as we sing.
So we've got that picture of the area and picture of lights burning, that call to be light to the world. Where does that begin to take us? Well, initially, all we're going to do is pray. We're going to ask God to lead us out and show us where to go. We've got no pet projects at the moment. We have some models that we've, as a church, have been a part of. Ministry Among Asians in Preston, Cedar House, Street Pastors, short-term models like Serve the City. There are things there that we know that in the past God's called us to be involved in, and we've made commitments to, and many of you have got involved in those and given your hearts to them and seen them grow and develop and become a blessing to this city. But we also believe we're asking God to pray. As we pray, he will show us and begin to lead us towards. And it may be that you will be the person that comes to the leadership team and said, God's given me a burden. God's given me a burden to start a ministry in Ribbleton teaching adults to read who can't read. And as a leadership team, we'll pray and we'll take a hold of that and say, right, we believe that's right. Let's get a team. Let's help you and enable you to take a ministry team out so a new ministry fire, a new ministry light is burning. Always, always, these things will be stepping stones to the cross. As we prayed this week, it was fantastic to pray. I think it was Thursday, we prayed for missions. We're committed to giving and now going to Panda Vida in Ecuador. There's a ministry on the streets that seeks to feed people, to educate people, to help people with health issues and health needs. But last year they saw 15 people give their lives to Christ. Stepping stones to the cross. We committed to Kibagora, to the hospital there. And that the heart of the hospital is that every patient who comes in and fills a bed in that hospital will receive prayer and will receive the good news of Jesus Christ. And month after month after the month, the hospital becomes a stepping stone to the cross. And we will never lose sight of that, that every single ministry area that we pick up and we step out in faith to fill, we will always have that as our heart's cry and our heart's prayer, a stepping stone to the cross. Some of the things that happened in the autumn then, as these things began to kind of come together, is that I don't know about you, but because I feel sometimes a bit like an old-fashioned radio where you've got one of those dials on the front and you're trying to find Radio Caroline or Luxembourg. Are they still around, by the way? Nah, anyway, and not, I haven't got a digital one, right? So you're turning the dial and it's all shh, 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 and all that sort of noise. Then slowly you get tuned in and you can hear it, and there it is, Radio 4, and you've arrived at old age. So there you are listening, and it's clear. And what happened to me, particularly in the autumn, and particularly as we're coming to prayer Tuesdays, is that I began to hear some of the things that people were praying. And I always take a notebook and a pen into the prayer meeting just to write stuff down if I sense God speaking. And on the 20th of November at the lunchtime prayer meeting, Clara Salisbury was giving God thanks for the guild. But suddenly, the way she prayed, she may not have even noticed it, but my ears pricked up because this is what Clara prayed. Lord, the church, that's not just us, the church across the city has set a standard in the guild. But what next? And this was Clara's prayer. The city needs you. Why she said you, I don't know. But the city needs you. We're on the fringes, but the city needs you. A week later, I think it was in the early morning prayer meeting, Val Higginbotham was praying and again giving thanks for the guild and praying on from the guild. And just a powerful, very simple statement of a call to reach further into this city. And that night as we prayed, Joyce Parkinson prayed this prayer about spiritual warfare and the battle over the city. Ground needs taking from the enemy in the whole of the city. Now, I know I kind of, you could say, well, your ears were attuned for that. Yes, they were. I don't mind that. I just sense that in those three prayers, along with the picture God was giving Russell, with the direction of the spiritual leadership team, the fact that we felt it was right to keep coming back to this word about being lights in the world and us being the light of the world, sense that God was clearly moving us step by step in a direction. And then I think it was New Year's Eve, we were at a New Year's Eve party and we were watching TV at near midnight and just simply go so we could see the fireworks on the Thames. And the presenter, Gabby Logan, was interviewing people who were in the crowd and she talked to this lady who was just bubbling with enthusiasm because she'd been a host for a games maker during the Olympics. And as a host for the Games Maker, she'd been thrilled with it. She was a Londoner, and she said, it should happen all the time. It should happen all the time. We should have Games Makers here all the time because they've done such a good job and been so enthusiastic about what they were doing. And Gabby Logan looked at her and said, yeah, Games Makers, they should be Life Makers. And I thought, wow, that's fantastic. And then I went away, and I was thinking about all these pictures and thought, no, they should be Light Makers. Should be light makers. And one of the pictures that we had right at the very beginning of this week was from Jackie Wiles. And Jackie's got no knowledge of where we've been led to as a leadership team. We've been praying about this. We've been waiting to share it. But Jackie had this picture. And the picture was of powerful fire over our church. And as that fire burnt, then the cross was raised in the fire or through the fire. But as it burnt and the cross was raised, then almost like people were coming with Olympic-type torches and taking those out into the area beyond where we're at. Now, at this point, Jackie's sharing, and she's at the back of the room, and I know Jackie, when God calls her to speak, it gets pretty hot for Jackie, intense, and she kind of bursts to share it in the end because she's sure it's of the Lord. But I know that Russell Sutton is on the same row as me, so I've got my eyes open like you do when you're praying. You know, so really, that's the holy way of opening your eyes. No, I just looked, and I looked there, looked down the line to see Russell, and he was looking back at me, and we were both grinning like Cheshire cats because there was just this sense of God confirming what we were already believing that he was saying, and that was from Jackie, who didn't know anything about that. So we're light makers. We're being called to take torches of his light out into the world so they can see him. That's what Jesus said. They will see your good deeds, but they'll praise your Father in heaven. We take the lights so they can see him. That's what it's really about. So you've all got cards on your seats, so pick them up now and we'll just briefly look at them. Through the year, we're going to be having prayer times, vital prayer times, where the spiritual leadership team, at the end of the last week of every month, will be special prayer meeting simply for vision. We're not going to let go of this. We're going to have vital prayer times so that, and asking God to give us spirit-led mission teams who will break out from here and light fires. We're going to be praying, even though we don't know where it may lead us and when, we're going to be praying that we will embark on spirit-led church plants. Now, those 9 fires around the area, I believe it might take us 9 years to get there. If we had one brand new ministry, one new light burning somewhere else beyond our walls by the end of this year, that would be fantastic. But initially, we're calling each other, the we that Russell mentioned, we are calling each other to simply pray, to ask God to speak to us, to lead us, to direct us, to pray. And then when we're sure, we will go. That's what we're doing in 2013. It's mainly going to be a year of prayer. So you've got those questions there. Lighting fires through prayer. What? New ministries. Where? Beyond our walls. When? The Spirit leads. Okay, we're not going to run before we know the Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us. So we're calling ourselves, calling each other to pray for 2013 and beyond. People are going to be praying, going to have spirit-led missions and church plants, and we're going to break out. I love that picture of the Olympic torches. And what was wonderful about the Olympic flames is that it wasn't just David Beckham in a posh speedboat. Or was it Posh's speedboat? Anyway, never mind. It wasn't just David Beckham and Sir whoever, the rower man, what's his name? Steve Redgrave. I was thinking about Matthew Pinson, but anyway, Steve Redgrave. It was ordinary people like you and me also got to carry Olympic torches. And I believe God is calling us, and we believe God is calling us to do that. Breaking out, but when we do it in the power of His Spirit, we do it because He's equipping us with people, with vision, with teams. Nobody will be allowed to go on their own. And resourcing us in the Spirit, it means we're not burning up. Break out, not burning up. And so as we do that, one of the things we're going to do is now we're going to turn to just visually representing that. I just want to share a little bit from Friday night. I'm sorry if you missed the prayer meetings this week. We had some awesome prayer meetings. And I didn't want Friday night to end. We could have worshipped all night. It was an amazing time. And to see Cyprus full of teenagers and old people like me together worshipping the Lord. You've got to know our teenagers. Part of the evening, we went out prayer walking. And we had maps and we split up and we prayed through this whole area. Some of you won't have known it, but a gang of people would have stood outside your house and prayed for you on Friday night, if you live in this area. But our teenagers got together with another group and they actually did a prayer conga down Lightfoot Lane. How you do a prayer conga, I don't know, but they did. I think it's gone viral already, is it? Get it on the web or whatever, but they did, and it was just fantastic. The worship time at the end was so powerful, and it's so sense of God's presence. You could have stayed in it forever, and one day we will. But we had to go back to bed and stuff like that. On the back of your prayer card, there's a prayer, and we're going to pray that in a minute or two. But I want to ask, some of you, when you hear about new stuff like this, it's just in your nature. You say, right, yeah, let's do it tomorrow. You know, you jump. Some of you were thinking, oh, this sounds okay, but I'm not so sure. Others were all thinking, oh, no, not something else. We all have human reactions to this. And so as a prayer, it may be that you need to take this home and put it in your Bible and slowly begin to pray it. That's okay. But I would love it if this morning we could stand and just as a first step of the we that Russell spoke about from Dave's sermon a few years ago, the we stand and we pray this together. But first of all, symbolically, of taking these torches out the leadership, the spiritual leadership team who are here this morning, and Ian and Sue are going to come, and they're just going to light fires and take them out among us, just as a symbolic sign of the fact that we believe God has called us forward. So, team, let's go. We have the lights, please. That's the central flame burning here at Fulwood. Then lights going out like Olympic torches beyond. Into different parts of the congregation, but actually that's different areas of our church, of our world, of this area. Prayer's going to be on the screen. You don't need it on your card. These cards are for you to keep for 2013 and beyond. That's why they've been laminated. Please keep them in your Bibles. Use them in your prayer times. Read the prayer on the back of the page, but also read the front and pray through the front as well. But it'd be great if we could stand and pray this prayer together. So we'll begin with the quote from Matthew 5 and verse 14, the word of God, and then go through the prayer. You are the light of the world. Lord, you've called me to be light in this world. Let your light burn brightly through me. I love you, Lord. Help me to show love to others. Fill me with love for the world that you have made. I willingly give my time to serve you by serving my community. I gladly give my abilities to serve you by serving where you call me. I cheerfully release my money and possessions to you to help impact the church, the city, and beyond. I will follow wherever your spirit leads, whether it be local or further afield. I will gladly seek God's purpose for my life through prayer, studying the Bible, and friendship with Christians. Make us a loving community filled with God's life-changing presence. Amen. Please do sit down. As we come to a point where you too can light a fire, and I'll explain about that in a minute. I just want to share something that I shared on Friday night about personally where I am in this. You know, I love who God has made us and is making us as a community. As I said earlier on, to get to 30 years in ministry and to enjoy the last 4 or 5 years in particular like you've never enjoyed ministry before, I count as an amazing privilege, and a lot of that is about working and walking and praying together with you. Fulwood runs brilliantly. Some of the backroom boys like Matthew Johns and John Allen, who serve where you may not see them serving, some of the upfront folk who come and prepare sermons, or the music groups who practice literally hours every week to make worship something that pleases him. To the teams that run our youth and our children's ministry, to things like lunch break, this church works amazingly well. It runs beautifully. Not like clockwork, because we get stuff wrong, but it does run amazingly well, and I enjoy that. It gives me a great job, but I don't want it. That's too easy. We've got to a place where, praise the Lord that we run well. And it'd be fantastic. I've got 9 years till somebody kicks me out of this place. Maybe less, who knows? I don't know. But 9 years till I formally retire at 65, unless the government make it 70, which I'm happy about, but you may not be. But seriously, it would be easy for us to be comfortable. But God has called us out beyond these walls. He's called us to the world mission that hasn't changed for 2,000 years. And whether it's sending a team to Panda Vida, or maybe we are going to light a fire on Fair Snape, I don't know. We'll let God tell us that. Let's not settle for what's comfortable. Because the kingdom doesn't work like that. If we settle for what's good round here, we will start going backwards. Let's step out in faith. Let's take up this call to arms, if you will. And that was another picture God gave us last week. To take this flame, this fire of his love, this fire of his grace, this fire of his truth to people who need Jesus. They need to see it in us so that they catch a fire for him. Let's do that. So what we're going to do is we sing a couple of songs. The children are probably going to come back in at this point as well. Don't worry about that. They need to see this and be a part of it. So they hopefully they'll see it as well. But on the tables here to my left and right are tables with little tea lights. And this could take quite some time. But if you're at a place this morning where in your heart you're saying yes, and I prayed that prayer, and I want to take a step of faith and respond now. That as we sing these songs, come and light your own tea light. Please, they are not votive candles. Okay? Right, we haven't gone all C of V or RC. Just in case you're worried, this is a symbol of what we want God to make real in our lives. God, I'm lighting this flame because I'm asking you to light a fire in me. God, I'm lighting this candle because I want to be a light in this world. God, I'm lighting this candle to stand with my brothers and my sisters in Christ. As a church, we go out beyond these walls. And as I light this fire, Lord, burn me up, but I trust that you won't burn me out. Let's stand and let's sing. And please, come and light the candle. Thank you.